Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Let me see if I can find Gerard. And Ted. And anyone else we need to add to this call? I think that's it. Do you know if Carl's available, Gary?
I don't believe he's available today. He let me know he's unavailable.
Yeah, hello, what? What does that mean?
What's going on?
Words have meanings?
What are you
doing? Trying to tell me?
What are you doing in my Sunday sanctuary here?
We're having a meeting here, an international meeting.
An international? Oh, boy.
And we're going to be all speaking Spanish, so let us know when you're ready.
That's right.
I knew this was going to be trouble teaming up with you guys. What's going on? You actually trying to get a hold of some international people for real?
No, you're already in.
Well, we'll let Linda. Yeah, let Linda explain. Yeah. I'm going to run for water as Linda
international.
Explains.
She's out of the country, so she qualifies.
There you go.
Right. Actually, the chair of our committee is, you're not on my board, and I can't see your name, and I can't, I've drawn a blank. Anyway, I will go ahead and explain. She and I have been working together to put together this international committee of the National Liberty Alliance, and she's going to really conduct the meeting, but I'm very happy to explain how we got to this point.
I was in the one conversation where John said, go for it.
Yeah. We have quite a few people that have joined the NLA, and Gary has been very kindly hand-registering them, and I've talked with Carl about what would be needed to add to our registration page and to our membership so that we can identify the countries they come from so that they can automatically register. And so that they can be automatically added to this. And we've worked very hard and have already produced a very beautiful protocol, and we're going to be reading that today and discussing it. We're going to allow this committee to form a task team if they want to analyze it and improve it or change it or anything, or for us today to approve it. Now, we are very happy that John could take the time to join us because as we read through this, he may want to put comments on it, and that'll help us refine it. And as soon as this has all been done, we're going to submit it in the hope that it will be approved and have a page be listed under committees and have a blog and start soliciting for people to fill the tasks that we have listed. And we certainly want Elvia to cover the tasks that she's proposed. So are you ready to take over, Elvia? And
we lost Elvia.
I'm gonna switch off my cell phone to my Skype because I answered this Skype on my cell, but it won't bother you. It should go right over.
Yeah. I don't see Elvia fell off the phone call, and we don't have anyone else other than National Liberty Alliance leadership. So.
There's nobody here from the internet. Well, can you try to get Elvia back?
We'll try to get her back.
Did you call up Elizabeth from Brazil? She was on the call.
I called everybody that was on the call. Let's try Elvia.
I'm
it says
trying.
Nine participants.
Boy, say that five times fast. It'll get you in.
What's the name of the other person?
There's Elvia. She's back. Elvia, can you give us the rest of the membership list, drop it into the text box so that John can call everybody? Because we want to call Sahil, and we want to call Elizabeth from Brazil.
Hello, Sahil.
Hello.
Genaro.
G.
E-R-A-R-O. He's on the Skype. You have him for a contact, I'm sure.
Yep.
And then Elizabeth, she's listed there. You know, I'm trying to find like this of our membership so I can...
Yeah, I'm not finding G-E-R-A-R.
G-E-N-A-R. I always his second name is easier for me.
Okay, he doesn't look like he's on. He's in yellow, but we'll try.
I'm just now sending him a message on my Facebook private message, and he's on there, and I'm telling him, join our meeting, answer your Skype call.
Yeah, people might want to get on to regular phone calls to these people to remind them and tell them to turn their Skype on. You know, what happens is that people go yellow. I notice I'm being put yellow, and I'm not getting calls. And I've always stayed green, but now with this new Skype, I'm turning yellow.
Yep, me too. Every time I turn around, they got me on yellow.
I don't want to be on yellow. I'm not a yellow.
You're a yellow belly.
Yes, I knew you were going to go there.
You're yellow mellow is what you are.
We don't have anybody but us on. So, we submitted a protocol to you, John. Did you get a moment to look at it yet, or would you like us to read through it?
I'm sorry, say this again.
We submitted the International Committee protocol to you last night. Did you get a chance to...
Oh, you know, I haven't, no. I've been so busy, so no, I never did.
Would you like to take a moment and read through it now so you can...
Sure, because Gerard doesn't know it either, I don't think, and maybe Gary doesn't know it, so it's good for us to know. Meanwhile, you need to give us other people's name, or people need to be called on phones to tell them to turn their Skype green or whatever, okay?
Elvia, you have the list of all of our members. Go ahead and mute yourself and call them on the phone and ask them to join this call to put their Skype on green so that, and drop the list in the message box so that
and then I'll add.
So that John can add. And then I'm going to start reading through the protocol.
And if there's anyone that's not on my PAL list, tell them they'll be getting a message from me to join the PAL list and then the call.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Okay, ready for me
mm-hmm.
to start? Okay. Purpose and goal. The purpose of the IC for NLA is to build a pathway for people living within the United States who speak a wide variety of languages by educating and empowering them and assisting them with court cases, and to build such a pathway for people living outside of the United States from a wide variety of English and other language-speaking countries by empowering them to restore justice in their own countries. We intend to start the process by bringing, and I didn't put the ING on that, so I'll do that right now, by bringing these people into the NLA so they can study and work together with the NLA in order to respond to issues impacting their communities within the United States and within their native countries. Objective one. Should I stop at the end of each paragraph if anyone wants to comment?
We'll interrupt. Don't worry. We're good at that.
Oh, I know.
Just keep going.
Very good. Objective one. Translation of NLA educational content. The IC for NLA will create a page on the NLA website where members who are bilingual in English and their mother tongue, working alongside members who cannot speak English, learn the mission and methodology of the NLA, provide access to the civics course and other educational processes of the NLA, and stay abreast of NLA activities through a combination of translated material and bilingual study groups. We will make it possible. Now, I'm going to pause for a moment. We put that in there like that because we can't possibly translate the entire civics course and all that we have on our site. But we can form study groups where we can do the translation verbally and help them answer and progress in all of this. We will make it possible for them to submit cases for the habeas corpus answer to the abusive courts by translating the intake forms into their language so they can insert the information needed, translating their affidavits into English, and answering questions they may have about the habeas corpus documents and court processes. Objective two, identify bilingual county coordinators throughout the U.S. Bilingual coordinators will answer questions and help NLA members unable to speak English to navigate through NLA processes and services in the United States while promoting the NLA among grassroots organizations in the United States that focus on issues affecting ethnic groups in their communities, introducing the services of the NLA to these agencies. We will focus our efforts on those groups that are fighting corruption in the courts, unlawful imprisonment, and police brutality of minorities, and advocating for families affected by family courts. Now, we see this as a possibility of dovetailing with what CPS, with what we're doing for our CPS cases. Nikki submitted a protocol for the family assistance 3-month mandatory period that will follow the reunifying of the families that get their children back, that by going to these organizations, we may also find those that can help assist these families in the various things that are on that protocol. We also see it as a wonderful way to increase our membership because there's a lot of people out there that need what we're offering and just don't know about it. Object 3, establish an NLA force and common law grand juries in other countries. Bilingual coordinators will accept and reach out to people in other countries in order to help them establish a unified, united common law grand jury of members in their native countries. We will begin by bringing people from other countries into the NLA in order for them to learn how the NLA is organized, how we address issues and tasks, and what they will need to research and initiate in order to establish an alliance, such as the NLA, with its unified United States common law grand jury in each of their countries, in their endeavors to bring justice to the issues affecting their countries. Part of this process will be helping them identify the counterparts to the U.S. counties, the U.S. constitutional provisions for a Republican form of government, the U.S. Bill of Rights, the U.S. County Sheriff, and U.S. Marshal as chief law enforcement officers, and the U.S. court system, coupled with the approach of the NLA with its unified United States common law grand jury in educating we the people and our elected and appointed public servants in order to bring the justice of the king of the court back into the courts. Objective 4, weekly meetings. The main objective of the weekly meetings will be to build an alliance of people speaking a variety of languages who share the task involved in 1, extending the mission of the National Liberty Alliance with its unified United States common law grand jury to people within the United States who speak languages other than English, and 2, forming sister alliances in other countries around the world. Any comments?
Well, nope, I don't have any particularly other than that's an excellent plan, and we have a lot of the nations from the past, if once we start setting them up, a lot of English-speaking nations, like Canada, New Zealand, Australia, England, and so on, and I think there's eight or more of them, that we can be ready as soon as we got the time. Gary, when is the possibility of starting to develop other counties for other nations?
That's a question that only Carl can answer because he's we're actually looking into it.
Okay, why don't you discover the answer and let us know when the briefing starts. I don't know if Ted is around. Can you give a call to Ted on a private line to tell him to get online so we can pull him in here?
Now, how's that
going to happen for him? Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. How's that going to affect us as far as bandwidth and stuff to accommodate these? Is that a big deal or it's not? I mean, we have.
Well, once the population starts to come on, it will be. look at it's going to cost us more in memory, so we'll have to buy more space to create these different groups. I don't think that's going to be terribly much, but every bit, you know, we are memory heavy. And now bandwidth is going to hit us once people start coming, but we got to believe that people will start giving too.
Well, I was going to say we should have a special message or donation for those people saying, look, in order to get you started, your county should raise, you know, a certain amount of money when you come in to help us pay for the bandwidth. You know, give them a goal.
Well,
give them some idea
Well, everybody should be working. We need to be working on the hard side. I don't want to make anything like a payment or a requirement or something.
I understand.
We have never done that.
Well,
we almost done that in the beginning, but I think very quickly we realized this is not what we can do. But I agree. Look, we're going to have to push upon the people in the membership.
That's why
activity
I'm saying
will create.
Do it by county. Say, look, the counties need to get together amongst themselves and raise money and send it in. Let them whip themselves
as
hard as they
want. Yeah, well, the stable money. There's stable money. We need stable money. And stable money is committed money.
Right.
So people who are active, the more we get the welcoming committee movement and the phone calls and the reactivation of those who are idling, getting the lumps on the log moving, getting people doing things into committees, doing this, doing that, participating here, you know, and starting to really get a sense of what's really going on here with National Liberty Alliance, then those are the people that will be a long-term feed for income to keep us going. And that'll be the most powerful. If we do just try to get money from each county to come on, the problem comes, it's not committed money. You got to get, you know, you drum up people, you say, oh, yeah, I'll throw $10 in, or I'll throw $20 in, or I'll throw $5 in, or maybe I'll throw $50 or $100. But it's a one-time thing type thing. We need membership. We need people we're going to give weekly. The widow's mite truly is key here. And if we can get more activity, we'll get more income. So that's the key, is really getting people active. And I think the international people will be more active, in a sense, than we are, because they'll be coming out of country, so to speak, and in country.
Let me just make a slight, I think you're missing my point. And I agree, the widows might, but for people to reach in their pockets and give you $5 a month internationally every month to be consistent with it, I mean, it's a great idea, but do they have the means of doing it? Some people don't even have a checking account. If they could give $5 to their county organizer and he pulls it and he sends it in on some card, they would be more apt to do it. Look, I know people give money that can't afford to give money, but they do anyway, and they don't have a checking account, they don't have a credit card, you know what I mean?
Well, they can send pounds, and they can send
how do you send
rubles,
yeah,
and whatever they want. I don't care, we'll take it
to
the bank.
Union, and it costs you $10 to send it, John.
You
can't send $5.
They can mail it. Can't they mail it?
Union.
No, they can't mail it.
Well, they don't have a checking account even. Other people.
No, can't they mail, put a pound note in a letter,
yes,
or a ruble in a letter or something, and just mail it? Let them do that. Even if it takes 2 weeks to get here, who cares? You know, the thing is that once I get it, I'll bring it to my bank. I'm sure my bank will change it.
That's what you need,
right?
Foreign money coming into your bank account. I just don't
like
it. Listen to me. It's not, look, those countries will do what they will do, and you leave the fundraising up to them within their counties, I think. Otherwise, you're going to get nothing. That's my opinion. I don't think people are that disciplined to send money across, especially as times get harder. People don't have credit cards. It's getting tough. We're going into a depression here. The dollar's going to crash. We have to have something set up where the money's easy and other people chase it for you, because as much as people want to do things, it's a discipline. They have to develop a discipline. And I think that discipline can be developed in their localities easier and having a central person send it in. I mean, they don't have to do it like that. They can send the widow's mite. But this, somebody should be set up. They can take the funds in their country and they can turn them over to us. I think you'll get a better, I think you get a better response that way. But that's my opinion, you know.
I want to respond to that. One of the things we didn't specifically name in our protocol, and maybe we should add these words, is setting up their chain of leadership so that they will have their county coordinators, state coordinators, and national coordinators. And they need to have one that of those national directors that would be called contact person. And from the very small villages to their counties, to their states, to their national branch, they submit their stable, committed, monthly contribution to bring this to their country. And then that person learns how to make the transfer, and it can be a wire transfer bank to bank, because going through the mail, maybe we trust the United States not to open packages, but I know that when it gets to Mexico, they open any package they think has anything in it they want.
They got scanners on the money now. They got chips that they know when there's cash in an envelope.
And I fully support what Gerard is saying, that we have lots of evidence that it's the poorest who give the most. So
That is a fact.
We don't have to assume that we have to financially carry these other countries. We definitely, in the long run, will help them to have their more equal share of the wealth of our world. But we're going to find that, you know, the United States is only 5% of the world population, and we don't suffer as much as a general course financially. We're suffering now, but not nearly like some of these countries. They are desperate for what we're offering them, and they are going to make it happen. Gerard, did you have more to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, look, by them collecting and sending, if there's a problem, we have a language barrier. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody calls up, did you get my donation? He doesn't even speak English. Let them handle it themselves, and then send it over. It's one less burden on John.
Yeah, John, you know what I mean? Gerard, it's recibo mucho dinero.
Right.
We're going to learn that. But definitely, what we've set up here is that we're going to find bilingual people of each of these languages. We are going to be adding a new subcommittee chair for each language-speaking people as we have that bilingual coordinator. And that will be the person that will send the welcoming committee and the thank you letters for the donations and do the interchange between the people in their group and the people that speak English and that live in other countries and that live in the United States. And within the United States, we will make sure that there's translation available for everyone that starts to access us. And personally, Elvie and I believe that there's going to be a flood, because they are the ones that are being targeted by these abusive courts.
Excuse me a second, Linda. John, Elizabeth from Brazil, she sent you a contact. She's waiting for you to add her and invite her into this call.
Okay, looking for it.
Elizabeth Melida Feiruz Morad, Brazil. She is a project manager of 30 years experience.
Uh-oh, watch out, Ted.
We should introduce the people that have already joined officially and have spoken with us personally. Elizabeth from Brazil, she's very fluent in English, German, and Spanish, and she has experience as a project manager. We have Genaro Sayel Ceseña Cota from Mexico, a very dear friend of mine. He's my computer man. He is a programmer. And I've already spoken with Carl about him, and they are planning an upcoming conference for him to help with whatever they're adding this. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello. Hi, Linda.
Hello. We'll introduce you to one of our national directors, John DeRoche. Say hi, John.
How you doing?
Hello,
John. How you doing, Elizabeth? Just being a wise guy, that's all.
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing, John?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
And we have Gerard, who is also a national director.
Hello, Gerard.
Yeah, he's a wise guy, too. Watch out for him.
And we have Ted Precision. He is our project manager, And I was telling the team that you also have a lot of experience as a project manager.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Miss Cindy?
Maybe she could work on the management on the international level and work that out to bring updates through Ted, working with Ted on this. And Ted, hopefully in the next week, hopefully we'll start to get reports of some kind of, updates on what's going on, where we're at, so the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. We should try to start that as soon as possible. So,
okay.
We'll call it a brief of leadership at minimum, but we might leave it an open door for anyone to come in for the briefing. I'm leaning towards an open door for anyone to come into the briefing. And it should be very short, sweet, and quick. You know, just brief us on things, and then we have questions to dig deeper, we'll dig deeper. But basically, it should go rather quickly. But anyway, go ahead.
Excellent. So if those two are working together, they're going to be able to have...
If you want John Dion to connect and question later.
John and I are meeting later, sweetheart. Okay. David listens to everything, and he has so much interest in this, and it prompts him to help me out so much.
Aww.
He comes up with ideas, and he wants to make sure he hears me put them forth. So there's something he wants me to ask you, John, later. Okay. So... as we coordinate the project manager of our international committee, do you accept that position, Elizabeth? Yes? Then as we coordinate your work with Ted's work...
Yes, I accept.
Thank you. So we have a little task assignment database, and you've just been entered in it as a person that will chair that task. And that will get the project management coordination across everything. The next person to introduce you to is Gary Jolly. And he, I don't really know what your official name is, Gary, but I know you help coordinate everything that happens between everybody and a lot to do with our computer program, right?
Well, I'm actually a national coordinator, and I'm really, I'll be honest with you, I leave the computer stuff, namely, to Carl. But I am incredibly technical myself, but I try to avoid that because it takes up too much of my time. But I mainly coordinate from a national perspective, and I'm looking forward to the connectivity with the international perspective.
And let me interpret that. That is the National Liberty Alliance jester.
Yeah, there you go.
Instead of a court jester.
You bet.
He wears that. He tries to make off. He doesn't wear one of them silly hats with a little ball that hangs down to the right. He thinks he's an investigator here. He comes in as Sherlock.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I just posted a URL to a wonderful Skype recorder.
Very good, very good. So we'll make sure that that is going to be used on all calls.
Oh, yeah.
I want to introduce, David, please don't talk while the mic is on. I want to introduce our other members who are sleeping right now and wish that this were being recorded. Joanne Savas is from Australia, and she is the assistant director of the Velvet Revolution in Australia. They've been working for some time now to try to, I wish she were able to present this herself because I can't really speak justifiably to it. But she has wonderful organizational skills. Can you speak to members, Elizabeth? Do you want to speak to that? No? Okay.
Yes, for sure. She can send me an invitation, and we can talk or we can type here.
Okay.
Should be good.
Okay. So she is inviting, they have 200 members in Australia, and she is inviting, she's coordinating the effort to see how many of their members would like to join us. And we just had a new member join, and he's not on my list right now. What was his name? Thomas, I think, was his last. Kenneth, maybe. He just sent me his email. I see that it just arrived with all of his information to register. These people are so eager to get in and learn everything they can.
I'm new in the situation, but I think...
Uh-huh, and you want to learn.
I'm new in this situation, but... I think there is a lot to learn with you and the others.
Yes. And all of them have signed up for the civics course, understanding that everything that we've learned about the United States, they need to learn about their country. Now, one of the prompters of forming this committee was Victor Hernandez.
Yeah.
And he called in on the Monday night call, John, you'll remember. He was offering to help people in the United States who speak Spanish that need to enter our habeas corpus process.
Right.
And so he's part of this as well. So that's an introduction to people that we have. Now, Elvia, do you want to mention about the tasks that we have already put up on the board?
Yes. I'd be very happy to do that. So the very first task that we can start working on, and this will allow us to offer our services right away, would be to create a page within the NLA website where members who are bilingual in English and their mother tongue, working alongside members who cannot speak English, learn the mission and methodology of the NLA, and provide access to the civics course and other educational process of the NLA, and stay abreast of NLA activities through a combination of translated material and bilingual study groups. So, I'm sorry, I was just reading, I think I made a mistake. I went over the objectives instead of the tasks for the meeting.
It's all right, take your time.
So what the first task is to put together a task force to translate the content in the website to the NLA and make it available to people. And we're going to begin with Spanish-speaking people first because we have members that speak Spanish.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. Your voice is cutting. I don't understand a lot that you talk. Just some words because your voice is cutting.
I'm sorry about that. What about now? Can you hear me now?
Now it's okay. But some moments, your voice is cutting. Now it's okay. Now good. Yes.
Okay. All right.
So speak directly into your device and speak slowly. Enunciate clearly.
Yeah.
Okay. We are planning to put together a task force of individuals who speak different languages, members that are already part of the NLA and who speak other languages and are fluent in English and have the ability to translate from English to their native tongue, to translate the material that's available in the NLA website and make it available to members that don't speak English, so that they can benefit from the civics course that we offer. So that would be the first task force. The second task
to translate the website into Spanish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will see it.
Do you want to be on that task force?
Sorry?
Do you want to join that? Do you want to join that task force?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Okay, we'll put your name there.
Yes, I can join it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Just we separate what is my part of the job and I do it.
One of the things that we're
encouraging... Do you speak Spanish? Elizabeth, do you speak Spanish?
Yes.
My mother language is Portuguese, but I speak Spanish too.
Oh, okay. Oh, that would be great. Okay. So we can add Portuguese as the other language that we can translate the material to.
She speaks German as well.
And she speaks German.
But not so good. Not so good.
Okay. Okay.
And so
not so good for this, I see. So
to translate, yes, I understand. I speak Spanish, but not well enough to translate. I understand. Carry on.
Mm-hmm. And for each country, that we have members.
I don't understand.
Okay. For each country, in like, for example, you're in Brazil. So the goal is to help the people in each country organize so that they can build a system similar to what we've created in the United States, so that we can constitute the common law grand juries here and utilize them as a tool to bring justice to the courts. So this is the system that we can help people in other countries also acquire. And the first step would be for each country to organize into a task force and study the constitution of their country. So each country, so for example, if you gather members from Brazil and you start working together and start investigating or doing research on the constitution of your own country and provide...
Your voice is cutting again. But first, I needed to understand how you work. So, you know, I need some time to understand it, and afterwards to bring it inside our constitution. Okay? It's basically is the same, but with some difference.
May I speak for just a moment, Elvia?
Please.
I'm thinking of our members in Australia. They have been spending 2 years studying their constitution, and they have a wealth of citations and stuff ready. So be sure that they get the import of this meeting so that they can do that. And I also want to mention that the wife of Genaro Sayil, programmer from Mexico, she loves history and is an expert in history, so she will be able to be one that we ask to do this research in Mexico, along with the history of how the powers to be have tried to keep the Constitution and the rights away from the people, which are the things that we've included in our documents. You're guilty of this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what Elizabeth is saying is also very important, that we need to make the material that's in our website available to the people that we bring in, because a lot of people don't know how to even get started. And I can totally relate to this because I have no idea what common law was. I never heard of common law grand juries. I didn't even know anything about the Constitution until I learned on the website. And then I started to see similarities between the Constitution in my own country and the rights of the people in my own country that we have on the Constitution. And I started to see that they are almost identical. And then when I saw the history of the United States, and we have counterparts to the United States founding fathers, we call them martyrs. We call them martyrs of the land. And I wonder if it's the same in Brazil. But it is important that we have that civics understanding and knowledge. So I think the first task that we should focus on is to develop or translate, first of all, translate the material that we have on the website and make it available to people, if not on the website, at least in a written format.
Absolutely, because as Elizabeth made it very clear, they have to understand what they need to know about their country in order to use the path that we're using.
It's an adaptation.
That's a good word for it. Once they understand the path we've taken and the methodology and the research we did, then they understand how to adapt that to their country.
Mm-hmm. Because a requirement to being an organizer is that we complete that civics course.
Yes.
Right. So I think that would be like a priority on our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
To start translating, so we can talk about how many people it will take to translate and how we're going to translate.
Well, just so you know, a lot of the courses, audio and video, which would mean we'd have to transcribe it into written word, into the language you want to do it into, and then overlay it, which shouldn't be too big a problem if you can have someone read it out as it's overlaid over the video,
mm-hmm.
or just put into an audio transcribe. Now, some of these things that we downloaded, they advertise as they go to different pages, and I think some of the stuff we have falls in this category, but I'm not too sure. It's actually done in many different languages. I know the Federalist Papers has numerous languages, and there's other papers and things that we've used that have numerous languages, but I don't know what we've used that might have other languages that we've put up. We do have American History, which I think would play an important role in liberty for any nation. Look, what our founding fathers found is not American alone. It belongs to all mankind. It is a huge find. And of course, you know, our founding fathers didn't create it. They discovered it. And it all comes from Mosaic law, which is really where we're coming from. So, you know, our founding fathers, I think, interpreted very well and created a nation very well in order to receive this kind of a government, which is a Republican form of government. And so I don't know how you want to work that out, but somehow we have to, you know, weave it in there.
John, you'll be happy to know that I have already translated some of the civics course. When I was taking it, my technique to take it was as I was listening to the recordings and the videos, I was transcribing them. That made it easy for me to learn and concentrate and answer the questions. But then I felt an urgency to get finished because my first plan was to go to South Carolina in July. So then I stopped translating. So I don't have it all done. But I have a great deal of it downloaded into individual archives. And so they can be distributed among people who are able to listen and type. And as this is just wonderful, I'm glad you've brought this up, that it will be very wonderful for people who can do the translation off of the transcripts. And that sometimes what they do is they'd soften the sound of the English-speaking person, and they speak along with him in the language that they're translating into. And
well, I think a better way is to just literally overlay, because I find it very disturbing when I get the two sounds, because sometimes I hear in another language and English is brighter, you know, they raise up the English so you can get that, but it's a distraction. So I think we can just shut off. It's very simple. We can remove the audio with no problem, and then we can overlay new audio, but it's the timing that's required, and there'll have to be some kind of a account or something that could be put on to make sure that it goes in sync. One of the big things, and it's a big job, but nevertheless, and it works. There's a man, Griffin, G. Edward Griffin, and he has been investigating, you know, the subversion of America since the 1950s, and he started documentaries. I think his first one was in 1960, but very early 60s he started his documentaries. We use a lot of his documentaries because what it did is it really lays out the way that they subverted this nation. And the way they subverted this nation is probably not too much more different than other nations because they've taken over, they're working on the entire world, and they have subverted every nation in the world, or that's where the United Nations come in, and because that is their plan to use the United Nations, which is their next step, and then from there, you know, total all-out 100% control by the elite few. So, again, this is something that unless there's, you know, we're not going to be able to appease every single nation to find out exactly how they did it. But, again, United States becomes the work has already been done. The documentaries have been done. And to interpret them into other languages would be key. But, again, a big, big job to do. And if we have the people willing to do it, not only will it be you know, something that will assist everyone in a better understanding, because I found it very important to make sure people understand how we lost our nation and how they did it, and how it could never happen again once the king is in the court. But nevertheless, it's an education, and whoever does that work, by the time they get to the end of it, they're really going to be very well educated in the areas that they're interpreting.
Fantastic comments. I think that we are going to be able to draw enough forces to do this. There's a lot of Spanish-speaking people, for example, living within the United States. And on your task force, I don't have a copy that I've got somewhere. I don't have it in front of me, but I took a few notes off. And one of them is a membership drive. And in that membership drive, if we can find those who are bilingual, and if we can get these transcripts into their hands, then I'm sure I find these people to be extremely industrious and very hard workers. And I have found that if you meet one Mexican, you've just met at least 10. If one car pulls up to the volcanic hot waters here in Tamasula and one person gets out, if you keep watching, within a couple of minutes, there will be 10. They always arrive by in forces of at least 10. They're very, very community-minded because they've lived under corrupt oppression from the very start of the of Europe entering into Mexico. And they form very tight, very supportive groups. So I think that we need to really concentrate on our membership drive and finding within that drive those that are bilingual and getting this translation done. I agree with you, Elvia, that that has to be the first step. And I agree with you, Elizabeth, that people in other countries need to learn our method so that they then know what to look for in their country.
This brings me to a very... Hi, can I just say something?
Yes.
This brings me to the next point that I wanted to talk about with you, with regards to our methods, because the content, those videos and the information presented as part of the civics course are teaching people to go into the courts and use common law and represent themselves. And then I'm finding out in the last few days that this is really not a method that we want to do, because there's no way that we can get justice in the courts, that we need to get out of the jurisdiction. And then later when we go, when the common law grand juries enter the court, then we can get justice under common law. So I don't understand what the purpose would be to teach people to represent themselves right now, when we've already established that this is not going to work.
Mm-hmm. And John, what Elvia is asking.
Oh no, I understand. She's absolutely correct. We have to be spending our time. Of course, there are situations where people are in an emergency mode. They're already stuck in a court situation. They can't hold off, and they have to battle. And the best way to beat those things is habeas corpus. And if there's any kind of a common law background within any nation, then habeas corpus should work in all. Habeas corpus is an unalienable right established here in the United States by putting it into the Bill of Rights. So, you know, as far as the right of common law and a right of due process, it all falls under the Fifth Amendment here in the United States. So it's the right of due process. So I don't see why a habeas corpus couldn't work to pull them out of any of these courts. I think I don't understand, you know, of course, the language. That's a language barrier, so it would be very difficult for me to give assistance to people if they're not speaking in English, on the one hand. The other problem is the normal processes of their court. Mm-hmm. I don't understand those things. You know, you don't need to know your enemy completely and intimately, but you need to understand your enemy. And here in the United States, I finally do understand our enemy. And at some point, we need to understand it's the same enemy. It's just how are they doing it there, you know, in another nation. So I don't know. But Elvia is exactly right. We need to be spending our time. If you have a situation that you need to deal with in a court and you're not in court, they're not coming out after you, then you wait with that situation until you get the common law, and then you go in and you have the juries that will be really doing your bidding for you as far as if you've been injured.
Mm-hmm. So I think that we need to be focusing our education, our campaign of educating the people precisely on the history of common law, the history of the usefulness of habeas corpus, the need for us to go into the courts, and how statutory law has systematically throughout the years phased out common law, and how they phased out the use of common law grand juries. I think
if you allowed me.
Yes, Elizabeth.
If you allowed me, sorry for cutting you, Elvia, but if you allowed me, I have something to tell. Here, for example, in Brazil, people have a great difficulty to understand their own rights because they don't know, they don't understand the law. The government had no interest in people understanding the law, and they don't know their own rights. Nobody knows. A few people that know their own rights. So it's one work of education, first of all. Here I see this difficult, because when I talk to people, you have this right, they don't understand this, you know.
Right, but freedom is popular, liberty is popular. Once people start to hear what liberty really is, they by nature desire it. And it's very simple to explain liberty, ultimately, and we do have a constitutional class given by Michael Bodnarik, which really focuses in on the principle of liberty, and basically it's property. Your first property that you own is your body. You are responsible for it. The government is not responsible for your body. What you do to your body, you have to answer to God. And that's the first principle. That's where it really starts as far as unalienable rights are concerned. Your body was given to you, and you now have a job to do the right thing with that body. Now, there's an extension of that body, which is called property. Your body is your property. The extension, your children are your property until they're old enough to be able to care for themselves. They are yours. They don't belong to the government. The government doesn't have the right to come in to even talk about anything that you're doing with your children. Now, of course, you know, compassion and other things involved with people who may be abusing their children, which I don't think is very, I think it's reasonably rare when people really, abuse their children, but they do. It does come up and it has to be dealt with. Sometimes people abuse their children and they don't realize it. But, you know, that kind of thing really should be dealt with counseling. But let's move back to getting back to property again. When you have property, when you worked in your sweat and your tears to earn something and to achieve it for the purpose of living life, like a shelter, which would be property, or, you know, real estate property and a house on it and so on, and the things within your home, those are yours. And to be taxed on that, and if you don't pay your taxes, you lose that, therefore it's not your property according to the government. It's their property, and you have to pay them their fee to keep your property, and that's not acceptable. So liberty is very, very simple to understand because, again, when you bring it down to the basics, it's all about property and the duty that you have to care for that property appropriately. And that you answer to God and not to the government, unless you're injuring another person with that property.
Look, can I say something to dovetail into that?
Yeah.
we went on a journey to this freedom, and we were raised in American, us Americans, and we still had a hard time getting our head around this liberty thing because we were trained slaves, and it takes a long time to realize that you have unalienable rights that come from God, because I blame the church for that, because what people were taught that, you know, if you're a slave, be a good slave, that the kings had a divine right to rule, and really, if you have a monarchy, the king in a certain sense does have a divine right to rule, but a benevolent king will never be violating human rights. He's going to give you the same thing we have here in America by virtue of the fact that he knows that he can't go against God's law and commit murder. And that's where Magna Carta came. When the king went outside of God's law, the people said, oh, wait a minute, you have a divine right to rule, but you can't be disobeying the Ten Commandments on your people. That's how it developed. And some of these countries like Brazil and that, look at the government they figure that you're a slave and that's where you better stay. So these are very hard ideas to get through to people because they've never been taught that they have, you know, rights that come from God, that no man, you know.
You got the word, Jay.
Right.
Yeah, you got the word. Here is difficult because people had another level of education. Or I tell you, uneducated. It's I have difficulty to teach the people what is their right. You have the right to sue the government if you are kidnapped, if you are stolen. You have the right to the government, because you pay for security. The government is obliged to give you security. And they think, no, this is a lot of work. I will not do it. It will not work well, as I think. No, it's another mentality. It take time to make people understand about it.
It's easier here because we start out saying all men are created equal and we have rights under God.
Yeah,
that
makes
it much easier for us than some country that doesn't say that. But nevertheless, your natural rights are your natural rights. And like John says, people have a hunger for that because that's really where we belong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I yield.
Yeah, and remember, these things are given by God, and that is one of the key things that we have to understand and realize. And, you know, again, we were blessed with some great individuals who really, again, Jefferson being the key to this whole thing. Matter of fact, without Jefferson, America wouldn't be at all. But you could say that about some of our other founding fathers, too. I mean, George Washington really kept the country together at a time when it was going to fall apart and they were going to bring a king back in and everybody was angry. But the thing is this, though, and this is what the people need to bring back into their nation, is they need to define, if they haven't already defined, and the purpose of the government. And in the Constitution for the United States of America, we, the people, did define the purpose of government. We gave them a task, and they're not permitted to go beyond it. They had a purpose and a goal. And I'm just going to read a very short paragraph, which is the preamble to the Constitution for the United States, where it says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union," because we, again, are states, union, coming together. And we're all little countries. But anyway, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's the purpose of government. And we ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America. And every country that comes into it, I would be preaching that they need to reestablish somewhere the words of the purpose of their government and start to bring it back. You know, we have government ruled by people, and people rule it ultimately by ruling their courts. It's the king of the court that rules our nation, so therefore we have a king. Now, when others, you know, it is true that God has rises up powers and he puts them down, and they do have sort of an authority there because God did permit these people and put these people into power ultimately. But the part that the church forgets to put in here is the point that these governments were raised up usually for judgment. When you have a bad king, with your king, it often is a judgment upon the people. And that's exactly what's going on in America. We deserve everything we're getting because we, the people, have lost our way. We've lost our morality. We've given in to the evils. And we've went and played instead of really doing the work we should have been doing. But now we're waking up, and I believe God's going to bless us for that waking up, and he's going to move and mountains for us. Sure. I really do believe that. And that's what every nation really has to get back to and to recognize that we're here to serve God. And when we have that as the foundation, okay, and serving God is serving your neighbor, doing good. Love God and love your neighbor. That's the two major laws of God. And look at it. If you're loving your neighbor, you're not killing him, you're not stealing from them, you're not defrauding them, you're not doing evil to them. You know, you're loving your neighbor. So if we all do that, that is the key. And that is the only way the world will become blessed. I believe that the United States is going to become blessed, and I see the possibility of the entire world becoming blessed only because of the remnant that God has
saved from the foundation. You know, all of us back to the foundations of the world. He has saved his remnant. But nevertheless, we're coming to the end, the closing notes of the world. We're coming to that point in time. And I do believe that he's going to judge nations before he actually comes to judge the individual. And that's where we're at. And so I think the opportunity and I think the possibility is there. But the people have to step up and take control, and they have to do it in the name of the king.
You know what I find ironic and funny is the fact that, that the Pope came over here, visited Congress and everybody, and then did a motu proprio and sent a letter saying that him and the Queen are divesting all the corporations of their corporate rights and that we're going back to the golden rule. And and you just, that's where we're heading. See, I think he's trying to beat us to the punchline. They know we're coming. And and so now he's run to tag free. I'm free. I did it. He's basically giving us where we're going anyway, and of course they're looking to maintain power by that move. I'm sure. I'm not exactly sure what they're doing because you never know. They're evil. This guy is evil. I'm sorry, but it's funny that he did that and he said that and he wrote it. And I dare say we could even use it because the time is now. When we come into these courts and they start with their corporate stuff, we'll go, wait a minute now. You've been declared null and void by your own by your own system, by the Queen of England and the Roman civil law where your corporations derived their power from. So you have no power. Leave the people alone. And I don't know how that's going to go over, but, you know, God works in strange ways. This may be a good way for us to put them down because what you're doing is you're taking the fire right out of them. You know, how are they going to answer that?
Very good point. We have gone 7 minutes over our hour, so is there anything else that needs to be said?
Well, the only thing I just want to let you know is I have this recorded. If I give it to you right away, I'll remember to do that. I should do that right away.
Please.
Unless someone else has it recorded. Did you get a recorder yet for yourself, Linda?
No, but that's on my list of
It should be number uno. Uno.
Okay. As soon as I get off.
Okay, because it's so important to be able to record. Okay, when this ends, I will send you a copy of the recording. I'll drop it in your Skype.
Thank you.
Hey, I
know I should have done that in the past with a few, but I never got around to it. And to find them, I'd have to know the dates to find them. But anyway, go ahead.
I was on a call. Mm-hmm. I don't just want to say this while everybody's out here so I don't forget. I was on a call where some woman called, and she was speaking in broken English, and I don't remember if it was Thomas McFadden or who was on the line. He said, are you Polish, ma'am? Because it was a district meeting, and she came in very distressed because she had to go to court the next day. The meeting was not for that. I got it taped somewhere. I think it sent it to you, John. And instead of kicking her off and telling her to go, you know, call the intake guy, which was all we could really do, I think it was Thomas, but don't hold me to it. He said, and they were having trouble understanding her because her English was very bad. He said, are you Polish? She said, yes. He goes, oh, well, I speak Russian. And he did a 7 or 8 minute dialogue with the two of them and everybody else being quiet back and forth, fixed her problem.
Aww.
It was almost enough to make you cry. But we should contact him because he's our Russian-speaking guy. He did such a wonderful job, and they treated this woman with such compassion, even though she was like way out of the line as far as our protocols go, but she had a real emergency and they showed her mercy and he put her on the right path and he broke the language barrier. And for her to be on that call that day with him there who understood her, it was prophetic. It really was. It was great. But we need to get a hold of him, whoever he was. I think he was in Jan's group, John.
Please write his name right now here in Skype so that we can pursue that.
I would do it, except for I'm not sure that that's his name, and I don't want
to.
Maybe you talk with Jan about him.
I'll call Jan
find
out who it was. But we need to get him. He's very good, and I'm sure he'll come in handy. Okay.
Now you need a stick with him, Linda. Okay, yeah. You got to get out a stick every once in a while, beat him a little bit to make him perform.
That's right.
Because he gets lost
no,
in
no,
this.
No. I'm like the pinata.
Sliding under cars. And like
you hit me hard enough and the candy comes out.
I'm taking notes on every meeting, and one of the things I'm going to mention to John that I think it was Daniel gave the suggestion that every time we have your little leadership and chair of each committee meeting on Monday before the Monday night meeting, that you ask the secretary to bring up all old business and every name that shows up in my notes. I'll ask them to make a report on whether they got this done. And if not, I'll do what John just showed us. Linda, that's numero uno, first thing to do. When you come back, I'll know you have that done.
Very good.
Anybody else have anything else before we close?
And another important thing that you're doing here, and I think it's important for us to do it everywhere, we have this tendency to want to go further, but we do need to limit things to an hour. 2-3 hours is too much. We do a lot of talking, and we all go home exhausted and forget about everything.
Exactly. We don't want to forget. Maybe even just a quick summary of what we've accomplished. For those that weren't here when we read the entire protocol, we'll get a copy of that to you by email, and we are going to be asking Carl to get us up. I assume we have received your approval to be a committee, John?
Oh, absolutely. And I went out and I'll create a page. It'll be an international page, and then we'll see where Carl can take it from there to make it much more robust. But we'll start off with just a basic page, and starting off where you can keep notes, put notes up there and different things, and you can put this recording up there. And we will, I hear myself talking back. Who am I coming back through? Elizabeth, coming through you, probably a little too loud. But in any event, I went out while we were talking and I bought internationallibertyalliance.org, internationallibertyalliance.net, and internationallibertyalliance.com. So we own those for the next 2 years, and we'll create I will point those URLs to that page, all three URLs to that page. And we'll see how we can work that out. And, you know, once we come to that international page, which I'd like to try to, the page itself, I'd like to try to keep it, create a URL directly to that on our website, disconnected from NLA, but connected to NLA in a different way. But the page originally staying as an international page, and in explaining what we're doing, what our plan is, and how we're using, at least at this point, and I don't see any other way to get around it, but using the United States as the pivotal nation in order to achieve freedom and liberty around the world internationally, and using the United States because the work of our founding fathers is so deep and it's never been performed before and probably will never be found again unless we refind it, the work of Jefferson, who discovered this whole thing and put it all together for us and also delivered it to our founding fathers. And they all had a piece of it, and they all together, in one accord, made it happen, made it real. And so we'll do that and use the United States, but we have to have that international page where people can then disperse out into if they only speak a certain language, at least they can get the information on our site very quickly that I speak Spanish or I speak German or I speak Russian. And then we can have the people diligently working into those translations, working in those areas, and then we'll be putting them up as we go. We also will need Carl to, when he gets the time, to start working on these pages, and I can create and lay out the structure, which I have already done before quite some time ago for many of these nations or countries. But there are some that I haven't, and I'm sure you guys are working on, and we'll have to put it together and then give it to Carl and see what Carl can do with this as far as creating groups. And I think with the different nations, I don't think we should break the groups up into counties. They should be broken up into counties in a sense, but they should only have one group, at least in the beginning, which is France or England or Mexico or whatever the country is or the nation is. They should have that as a group. And then maybe as we get a little further down the road, maybe we break them up into counties. Now, we did that originally. We broke things up into counties in order to digest a organization across the nation. And so we knew we had to work deep down and get a good membership in every state, and that's why we broke it up in counties. But we have enough of a momentum,
And we also have name recognition not only here in the United States but internationally. And so people are aware of us. So I think the growth in other nations will go quicker. So we don't necessarily have to grow from the county up. We can grow from the nation in one shot. For instance, we have this one group of people that maybe has 200 members, and maybe if 25% of their membership decides to join into the movement, that right away, that's what, 50 people. And that's pretty huge for a beginning of a movement, you know. I mean, it took us a while just to get 50 people when we first started off. It took us quite a bit, quite a long while. And now we're up to, you know, over 4,500. And that's just our membership. It doesn't include, of course, the visitors and a lot of people that are afraid to join, and so on. So anyway, we'll start that plan and we'll get it moving.
Fantastic! I'm so glad we have the recap. Anything else anyone wants to say?
Last thing, this recording, I think we'll just post this recording right up. I mean, you can work on it, but, you know, we'll post the recording right up on the page.
Good.
And so that all of the people in this meeting, others that haven't been able to make it or those that came in late, they can go back and listen to the whole thing and get the whole vision, which is this meeting was really the beginning of a vision. And I think we need to get that up there for people to hear and see and think about.
Yes. Break out the champagne. And we'll bring this meeting to an end. And this is
I got some red wine in the room. You know?
We'll bring it to an end now. And this is a weekly meeting, same place, same hour, until once we're up as a committee, can we use one of the teleconference rooms? Because getting on to Skype is sometimes very difficult in other countries.
Well, we should give you access into the Monday night room, you know, you can use that.
Okay. So all the meetings henceforth, same place, same time, but it will be out of the Monday night meeting. So teach your members how to go to the weekly call-in, get the number.
Right, and we'll create on that international page, we'll make the notes. You'll have to remind me a lot of this stuff and push me along on it, but we'll have to make the notes of the you know, we'll create a page where people can go and get the information and direct access into the, without talking about the Monday night room, just the fact that this is the room, right, giving them that information, what it's for, when the meeting is, what time, and that it's an hour long, and whatever else we want to write about it. You've already written up that plan. Mm-hmm. We can post, that could be the beginning of the posting of what we need to put on the international page. So we'll have to collaborate on this, and I would say maybe tomorrow we can spend some time on it.
Wonderful. Anything else anyone wants to say? We thank you, Elvia, for taking on the chair of this and for writing.
You're very welcome.
You have done a wonderful job. We appreciate you very much, and we thank you, Carl, for all the work you're going to be putting into organizing it, and we thank
and you. For all the work he's done.
Yes, already.
Thank you.
And Elizabeth and Ted, thank you so much for the project management that you're giving to it. And Gerard and John for all the enlightening comments you added today. This has been a most joyful meeting. We'll see
Thanks
you all.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Good day, everybody. I'll get this recording out to you in the next 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.